Shalom, everybody. All right, who's ever been to a Passover meal before? How about this? Who hasn't participated in a meal before? One, two, three, four. We have four people, all right. Alright. We've never been to a very long Passover one before. Could you sleep? I'll try not to do that for you. So everybody should have a paper that says Pesach Passover on. Yes? This is going to be the order of our dinner for tonight. Okay? And this is going to explain to you all the elements that you have on your table. Okay, so it's going to explain what you have on here, and you will read through it. You will have another paper that says the challenge. You'll need that later on, right before we eat. This is just going to retell the story to the children when we do that part. Okay, so not everybody needs one of those. What you really need, if you want to follow along with what we're doing tonight in our order of our food, you're going to need the one that says Passover Pesach. Okay? Do I have everybody in here? Or am I waiting on anybody? No. Are we good, Julie? Some people? Yeah. While we're waiting for Julie, I will need 12 volunteers to read. And are you laughing? What is it? I just need 12. I think it's 12. Is that, am I wrong? No, 16. Good job, brother. 16. So I need 16 volunteers. Who would like to read biblical passages? Alright, got Bernie, you're number one. Alright, Julie, you're number two. Remember your numbers, because I'm not writing them down. Adasa, you're number three. Oh, you want to? No. You don't have to write them down. No. Adasa is number three. Okay. John, number four. Oh, this is me. Alright. Leia? You're number five. Thank you. Do I have a number six? Michael, six. Rosie, number seven. Do I have a number eight? Veronica, and then number nine was, what's your name again?
Benton.
Okay, number nine. How about number ten? Do I have a number ten? Hannah, number 10, all right. Hannah's number 10. How about number 11? Do I have a volunteer for 11? We're almost there.
Number 11.
All right.
English or Spanish?
English.
English.
Number 12. Susie, number 12. Do I have a number 13? A volunteer for 13. Adela, number 13! Yay! Aw, Bev, number 13. Anybody? Need a few more people.
How much they won't make fun of you? I'll be 13.
13? Thank you. And number 14? Caitlin, you want to try it? No.
Caitlin's a good reader.
Oh, Auntie Sonia. 14 from your nieces. All right. How about number 15? And number 16, one more. Who wants to finish to read number 16, the very last reader of the night? Alright. Okay, so we have our readers? You guys ready?
Yes.
You're born ready. Okay. So, if you've been to another Passover, or if you ever go to another Passover and you've only experienced mine, you might see a whole lot more things on the table, like eggs and all kinds of stuff. I don't do that. I try to stay strictly to what the Bible asks us to do. I will add in the nuts and honey, because it tastes pretty good. That's about the only extra thing I add in there. So what you're going to have here is a very bare-bones Passover, a biblical one, except for the nuts and the honey. It's a little bit tradition, but we'll explain that. But other than that, it's going to be pretty simple, and it's fairly quick compared. Maybe not if this is your first time, maybe not, but compared to all the other meals out there that observe Passover. Okay, so I'll just read the introduction real quick to you. It says, biblically, there are only three elements necessary to have a Passover meal: roasted lamb, unleavened bread, and the bitter herb, marar in Hebrew. And that's out of Exodus chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. And biblically, this meal is to trigger the curiosity of our children, out of Exodus 12, 27. So with those two concepts in mind, the three elements and the engagement of the children, we present to you a bare-bones Passover Seder, or Haggadah in Hebrew, in hopes to keep the children engaged and some adults also. So, some adults also. Yes. Not all adults, it's something. Okay, so number one, parhas. You guys are going to have on your table either celery or parsley. Okay, and here in a moment we'll dip it into some salt water. And it's going to represent tears of our bondage. And you'll see in the bold print, it's the oldest interpretation of the parhas. Is remembering how this all started. You guys know a man named Joseph? And he had how many brothers? 11 brothers. Good job, Adasa. So he had 11 brothers. And what did his 11 brothers do to him? So, oh yes. So put it all together. You had brothers who didn't like him, who threw him in a dry pit, right? And then they originally, what did they want to do to him? Yeah, and who intervened and stopped that? Reuben. Reuben said, hey, let's sell him, but Reuben really wanted to save him and take him back from his father. But when Reuben comes back, you have Judas, he's like, let's make some money off of him, right? So after they sell him, what do they tell the dad, or what do they do with the dad when they go back home?
They kiss coat and blood, tell them to go.
Say it out loud, Judy.
They get his coat and blood, and just in some way maybe got ate by animals.
Yeah. So, as we dip the parsley, it's to strike in memory the tears that Joseph's dad had when he saw his son's bloody coat, the tears that Joseph had when his brothers sold him into slavery, right? And then the bondage that happened to everybody and to the souls of his brother. His brothers remembered that moment, and they recounted that moment right before Joseph reveals himself to them. They're sitting there saying, this has been the torment of our souls, and God is now paying us back for what we did to our brother. You guys okay? So that's our carpus, that's the parsley that you have in front of you. So remember that, we'll get back to that when we get there. And then you're also going to have the bitter herb, which is the horseradish that you're gonna, it's gonna be so tasty. Why are you laughing, Susie? Women, we have to separate you.
We are.
That's the time. Okay, so you're gonna have the horseradish, okay? That's going to remind us of the bitterness of sin. And then we're gonna have the harset, which is Hebrew for the apples, the nuts, and the honey. The apples chopped up the way they are to remind you of the bricks that we were making in Egypt and that we were laying in Egypt, right? And then the apples and the honey are going to remind you of when you don't have to work for Pharaoh and for the Egyptian system anymore, but you're into a new kingdom, right? Under a new king. So that's kind of a little rundown crash course on that, and we will begin. Any questions before we begin? Everyone good? We good? All right. So, who is reader number one? Take us home. All right, Brother Bernie.
Exodus 12, 24 through 27. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped.
Reader number two.
1 Corinthians 5, 7-8. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Yeshua is our Passover lamb. Our meal is complete.
So one thing you'll notice in your Bible, if you pay attention, is after you read the book of Exodus, everything else in your Bible is about the book of Exodus. It's all about Yahweh confronting the powers that be that control your life or the life of your loved ones. And it's about him sending a rescuer, a deliverer, into their life to rescue them from the powers that be unto his power. If you read the book of Acts, if you read the book of Luke, if you read Isaiah, if you read any story, if you read anything, it's about Yahweh infiltrating the powers that be and showing them that they're nothing, and showing you and me that they're nothing compared to him, and showing you the way of escape, right, which is into his hands. So, what Sister Julie just read is in Corinthians, and he's talking about the Exodus. He's talking about unleavened bread. He's talking about the Passover, all the way into the writings of Paul. You're going to have the echoes of Exodus everywhere in your scripture. Okay? So, reader number three.
Exodus 6.
I think you're 4. She's 3. Oh, yeah. I remember.
That's what it says. Okay, Exodus 6, verses 6-7. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
Thank you. So tonight we're going to drink 4 cups of wine. I don't know what that is tonight. 4 cups of juice for you. And those 4 cups, they come from the scripture that she just read. Exodus 6-7. There is 4 I wills in that scripture. And it is, I will bring you out. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you, and I will take you to myself. So, anybody ever heard of the term salvation? Anybody ever heard that term? Do you guys know where it appears for the first time in your Bible? You know you're going to have a Bible quiz tonight, right? Bernie's the only one smiling. He's like, yes. You got it, Veronica? Say louder. Be proud about it. Yeah. So she's right. It's when Moses is standing right there by the sea of reeds, and he says, see the Yeshua, or the salvation of Yahweh. And that word Yeshua, in Hebrew, means the rescue. Right? So the word salvation means the rescue of Yahweh. See the deliverance, see the salvation of Yahweh. It's the first time it's ever used in your Bible. So every time you read it for the rest of your Bible, understand that that author of whatever book you're reading is reflecting back on that moment. He's reflecting back on that moment. And so, what you are saved from, whatever it was, you're not saved to be free to do whatever you want. Because part of the four I wills is he's going to free you, rescue you from whatever situation you were in to now come and serve him. Not to serve yourself, not freedom from something to go do whatever you want, but freedom to come and worship him now. So these are part of the four I wills that we drink tonight in remembrance, which is those four cups of juice or wine, whatever you have. Right? So that's what that's about. Okay? Is everyone doing okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Good job. All right. Lighting the candle. I believe we have a volunteer for that tonight. Yeah. Thank you.
It's a new thing for God with Hathit, Yeshir, Shabbat, Shabel, Yom Tov. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments, has commanded us to kindle the light of the Sabbath and of this holiday. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time that we prepare for this time, Lord, examining ourselves and watching to see what you would have for us, Father God, and how you would work for us to help us to be that person that you would want us to do and do your works. Most of all, Father, we pray that it might be throughout the whole year, daily, Father, that we might see and examine ourselves and walk in your ways and seek you with all our heart. We pray you, Father, for this time and all the things that we call what you did the first Passover. We praise and give you thanks in your precious name of Yeshua, our Lord.
All right. So number four on our list is the washing of our hands. So reader number four, John.
Ephesians 5:26-27. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the congregation to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish.
So in his kingdom, we must be selfless and we must serve others. So each person will pour a small amount of water over the person's hands next to them. Okay, so we are going to...
I have a picture for that. Let's get water.
He's got his hands.
Okay, so we are going to wash each other's hands, so the person follow the instructions on the paper, right? So this is a picture of us washing each other in the word, which we need, right? If you're an encourager, sometimes you can be an encourager. So as a community, we're going to help wash each other in the word, and also for good hygiene, we'll wash our hands before we eat. So yeah. So and before Yeshua, our Lord's Passover, he washed his disciples' hands and feet. Right? So or just feet? Okay, just feet. Oh, we'll do hands tonight. So anyway. So,
Yes.
Well, no, they just did their hands.
Don't drink a full cup, because you're going to have four more. You're going to have to drink four of these cups. You're going to have to eat some of that matzah in front of you. You're going to have to eat some of that horseradish, some of the parsley. We're going to have a meal, and then we're going to have more bread after and more.
Yes, I feel it all the way.
So pace yourself.
Four cups.
That's great.
Yeah, four cups. Or not four, but like, don't have to.
Is everybody ready for the first blessing? The blessing is in the group. It's right on your paper, in case you don't have it. So, Baruch Hashem Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of our mouth. And I may dream. All right. Next, we have the carpus, which is the parsley or celery. Tonight, I think we have parsley. And this is going to remind us of the tears of being Pharaoh's slaves, the pain and sadness of our slavery to sin, or the oldest interpretation of this carpus is remembering how it all started. Joseph's brothers betrayed him, and they dipped his coat in the blood and sent him to Egypt as a slave, which is why you need the Passover, because they were in Egypt under Pharaoh to begin with. So what we're going to do is you're going to take your parsley, you have some salt water, you're going to dip it three times, one, two, three, let it hang, and it'll start to cry. One, two, three, cry, at the fourth step. And then you eat. Before y'all do it, this is a blessing. I was just joking. You guys ready? So you'll have the blessing right there on the paper. It says, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Hayom. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the earth. All right. I'll leave that for you. Make sure you cry. Make sure the tears come out.
So you like that, Amanda?
Who knows how to read Hebrew? John? You know what this is?
Pesach.
Pesach. Right? Anybody know the interpretation of Pesach in English? It's commonly called Passover, but it's also used in your Bible as protect, or protection. What are you going to say to
it? I always call it unleavened bread.
So Pesach is it could be in your Bible, it's been translated more often as protect, to protect you, your protection. Very few times is Passover, but that's what we commonly call it, Passover. But also, you could put protect in there because it's also translated in your Bible, right? The cool thing about this is this right here is like a Jewish custom on Passover, okay? And this is the bag. What you don't know is that there's three pieces of bread in here. There's three compartments in here, which is fascinating to me. You know why that's fascinating to me? It's because, has anybody looked at their bread so far, or the cracker in front of them? Right? That's a Jewish thing as well, from people who don't worship Jesus or Yeshua. And the funny thing about it is, it's three compartments. Do you guys know how many people were on a... You want to finish my sentence for me? You're smiling. No?
On a tree.
On a tree? How many people were up there on a tree with them? There's two other people making it three, right? And the interesting thing about this, and this is also a Jewish tradition, people who don't believe in our Messiah. You guys know anything that's unique about this?
It's
pierced and striped. Right? It's not a Christian invention. It's like they know it, but they don't know it yet. Interesting, right? So this is pierced and striped. There's three of them. Compartments. Okay? And so what I'm going to do is, anybody know what happened to your Lord that night? What happened to his body? You know what Isaiah tells us about his body? 53? Oh, how about we get our reader number 6 to read it for us?
Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 7. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
So his body was broken, right? Okay. Body was broken. Did I put a pen in there? I'm sorry. Okay. So reader number 7.
Matthew 27. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away.
Believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Thank you very much. So, with this, I'm going to hide. The other thing is, there's a word here called apikomen. This is a tradition. It's called apikomen. Okay? And apikomen is a Greek word that what comes after. That after Messiah is broken, he's coming back. Okay? There's the time when he died and they're waiting for his resurrection. And typically we go hide this, right, for the children. What we're going to do, we're going to have someone hide this for the children, and they're going to have to go find it later on. And there's a gift for somebody who finds it. But because the adults, like, going to stone me last year because they wanted a gift too, we're going to hide the other piece for the big children that were going to stone me last Passover. So we're going to let the children hide it from the adults, and we're going to let the adults hide it from the children. So when you go and look for these, if you find a word that says big children, that's for the big children. And if you just see children, that's for the shorter ones. Well, they're getting tall now. But You guys know what I get. So, I'm going to need a child, and all the adults who are planning to participate, I need you to close your eyes and put your head down. Can you trust them? I don't know. Yeah, you can ask them. So, when adults plan to participate, let us know if you plan to participate in looking for this for a prize. It might be ice cream, it might not be. close your eyes and put your head down. Do I have a child that would like to go hide this? Ooh. All right. Okay, you guys can all go hide it, but I need the big adults who are going to participate in the search. Please just close your eyes and put your head down. I got like, I got you guys quite a bit of participants. All right. All right, y'all go help them. And I will let you guys know when you can open your eyes and look up. And I'm watching who's looking and who's not, because I know who's participating. You, John, and Julie were definitely going to be part of this game. They hate losing. I know that's for sure. Okay, I think you guys can now look up. All right, do I have an adult that would like to volunteer to hide this from the children? Do I have an adult that wants to hide it, or do you guys want me to do it? Any adult want to try to hide it? You want to hide it, Julie?
Okay.
All right, so children, so whatever child who's younger than 18 wants to find this for a prize, please close your eyes and put your head down.
No,
if you find the other prize, you gotta leave it alone.
But she's playing, she's saying.
Oh, if you're playing, put your head down. If you're playing. Drive through. Put your head down.
See your eyes.
I think he was learning from John. John was like finding the eye muscle and keep it closed. Okay, you guys can open your eyes. So remember, we're going to eat here in a second, but you got to save a little bit of room for a little bit more juice or wine and a little bit more bread. That comes out. Okay. Right. So, do I have any children that have any questions for us tonight? ASAP, what you got?
Why do we have to eat? Why can't we eat every other herb on the nuts that we want to eat? Just have to eat.
What if, does anybody have an answer for ASAP?
I have the answer.
Oh, yes.
What do you got, Julie? Child 2, number 7.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, see. To remember the bitterness of our bondage to sin until Yeshua delivered us. And to remind us of the pain and suffering that our own bitterness can cause to us and to others, just like it did to Joseph and his brother.
Anybody ever really read at the end when Joseph's actually talking to his, when his brothers are revealing what they did and how they said they remembered when they sold their brother to slavery, how he was crying out to them not to do it? That gets me every time. Yeah. Okay. Does any children have any other questions? Any other children out here? What is the meaning of this service? Does anybody want to answer that question for Hadassah? You want to answer it, Carter? Any volunteers? Go ahead, Ibrahim, go on, Sue.
It is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our houses.
What about another child, Baruch? Do you have any questions for us? What? You don't have any questions for us? Anybody, you have a question?
Kitty.
He had a question. He's my bread man, but he got fashionable. He did good at one.
It's not on the paper. Yeah.
It's number one.
It's number one.
Go ahead, Caitlin.
Caitlin, I have a question.
Read child one.
On all other nights we eat whichever bread we want, but on this night do we only eat unleavened bread?
Yeah. Anybody have an answer for her?
Caitlin, you want to answer your question?
No. So, there was no time for bread to rise when we were delivered from Egypt. So Yahweh wants us to remember that He delivered us because He loves us, He heard our groaning, and He moved with love to save us. And at that time, the main staple in Egypt was a thing called sourdough bread. Anybody ever heard of sourdough bread before? Anybody ever made sourdough bread before? Yeah? How long did it take you to make sourdough bread?
A long time.
Long time. So what happens when you don't have all day to have sourdough bread? You gotta have unleavened bread, and that's the point.
Yeah.
Alright? So thank you, children. Thank you, adults. Okay? So we're gonna pour our second cup, but we're not gonna drink it until after our Passover. So. Who, me? I'm gonna sit down all day. Alright, so if you guys, after you pour your cup, stop dropping your utensils on the floor, you will pull out the paper that says the tally. Okay? I'm going to tell you a story before I meet you, so I don't put you to sleep. So, after you guys pour your cup, y'all may stand up, do whatever you want to do. I'm going to tell a story to the children, you guys can participate too.
Not whatever you want.
So we're going to be using this. Alright, so you guys, we're going to go up to the tally. This is a summary for Shmot, or Exodus, commonly known. Chapter 12, verse 24 through 28, and chapter 13, verses 8 through 9. You guys ready? You guys all ready? Yeah? Alright, so there once was an evil Pharaoh who ruled over Egypt. He was very mean to God's people, the Hebrews, and he made them work very hard as slaves. He was such an evil ruler that one day he ordered that all the Hebrew baby boys be thrown into the Nile River. And at this time, there was a woman who gave birth to a baby boy. And does anyone know what that baby boy, who that baby boy might be? Good job. She had to hide him from the Egyptians for 3 months. And she couldn't hide him any longer, so she put him in a basket, placed him in the river. Pharaoh's daughter found the basket in the river. While she was taking a bath, she saw the baby boy and named him Moshe, and raised him as her son. One day, after Moses had become an adult, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. So out of anger, Moses killed the Egyptian to save the life of the Hebrew slave. When Pharaoh found out about what happened, he ordered Moses to be killed. So Moses ran away to the land of Midian. One day, after many years living in the land of Midian, God spoke to Moses in the form of a burning bush. Yet, the fire was not destroying the bush. Moses was amazed. When he turned aside to see the bush, the voice of God spoke to him and commanded him to return to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go free. So Moses and his brother Aaron, they went to Pharaoh and said,
Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
So God turned the Nile River into blood. And Moses and Aaron, they went back to Pharaoh and they said,
Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
So God brought frogs upon the land. There were so many frogs that no one could even walk without stepping on one. So Moses went back to Pharaoh and said,
Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
Because Pharaoh refused to grant the request, God put lice upon every person and animal. Even the dust had lice upon it. Pharaoh's magicians tried to put lice on people too, but they couldn't. So Moses and Aaron went back to Pharaoh again and said,
Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
The Yahweh was left with no choice but to send another plague. This time, it was flies. When the flies were over with, they went back again and they told Pharaoh,
Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
So once again, Pharaoh said no. Once again, God had to send another plague to show that he was not playing around. So this time, he made all their livestock, their cows, their horses, to get sick and diseased so badly that they died. And after that, they went back to the mean Pharaoh again. And what do you think they told Pharaoh?
Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
So Yahweh put boils and blisters on everyone in Egypt. It was so bad that the magicians couldn't stand before Moses, so they ran to their rooms. Still, Pharaoh paid no attention to them. So what do you think they told Pharaoh again?
Let my people go!
And what did Pharaoh say?
No!
Yeah, so this time God said thunder and hail. And he went back to Pharaoh a seventh time and said,
No. Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
Yep, so God sent trillions of locusts. The locust covered the land and they ate every single plant that was left in Egypt. Then Moses went back to Pharaoh and told him,
Let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
So this time was different. Yahweh wanted to send Pharaoh a big message. The number one false god in Egypt was the sun. So Yahweh, who made the sun, decided to show them who the true God really is. So he did this by turning off the sun. He made it pitch black in the middle of the day. Even after all of this, do you think Pharaoh listened to Moses?
No!
So Moses went back to Pharaoh one last time and begged him to let his people go, or something really bad was going to happen. This last plague would be the worst than all of them that came before. So Moses and Aaron one last time with all of their energy pleaded with Pharaoh to
let my people go.
And what did Pharaoh say?
No.
Oh, so God told Moses that he was going to send one last plague upon Egypt, the death of the firstborn son in every home. However, God would not touch the houses that had the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. So Moses told the Hebrews to kill the Passover lamb, spread its blood on the doorpost of their houses so they would be safe. That night, the death angel came upon the land and killed every firstborn, son of every home, that didn't have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. The next morning, after suffering through this terrible plague, Pharaoh finally had enough and ordered that the Hebrew slaves were to go free. All the Hebrews quickly left Egypt to follow the God of Israel to the Promised Land. After a short while, Pharaoh changed his mind about letting the Hebrews go. So he ordered his army to go after them. The army chased the Hebrews all the way to the Sea of Reeds, and they were trapped. All of a sudden, God told Moses to lift up his staff and stretch out his hand over the sea. Good job, Sister Veronica. When Moses did this, God immediately divided the sea, creating a path for the Hebrews to cross. After they crossed, they saw the Egyptian army continuing to chase them. So God told Moses to stretch out his hand again. Once Moses did what Yahweh said, the sea immediately crashed down on the Egyptians, completely covering their chariots, their horsemen, in the water. Thus God saved the people of Israel that day from Pharaoh. When the Hebrews saw all that Yahweh had done, they feared God and they believed him. The end. Thank you, God. Alright, so we may go back to our spots if you're not already there. And while we're making our way there, is there anything that stands out to you guys in the whole Exodus story? Any little nuggets you want to share with anybody about that event?
I find it kind of fascinating that after Pharaoh and the Egyptians suffered so many plagues, he was convinced that he must let them go, but he was too stubborn to allow it to happen. I wonder if he didn't chase them with the Egyptians and would have
died. Yeah. It's a hard place to be when you're a king or a president of any nation in the world, because you almost feel like if you show any weakness, it's looked down upon.
Yep.
Right? So if you put yourself in a president's shoes today, what happens if you humble yourself in the eyes of your people or your nation? It's probably a hard spot to be. Probably wasn't a good guy to begin with, but even a harder for him, because that's a hard place for any person to be, to show weakness. Right? As the world may see it. That's a good observation. Were you going to say something about this?
No.
Oh, I saw the hand. It looked like you had your thinking hand up. So. Okay, so you can go back to your Passover paper. One thing that always stands out to me in Exodus is when you read Genesis, it's almost like the women are just messing up. Like they have all the women. No. Because if you look at Eve, you're like, okay, it wasn't the greatest. If you look at Sarah, she had Hagar, that thing, that wasn't the greatest. You look at Rebecca, you know, tricking your blind husband, getting your son, to, you know, that's. But then when you get Exodus, it's like all of a sudden, you got the Hebrew midwives. Right? You're like, oh, I don't know, Pharaoh. You're treating these women like animals, and they're giving birth like animals. So they're having babies before we even get there, you know? It's like an animal. So, sorry, babies are alive still. And then you got Pharaoh's daughter. She's like, yeah, you know, or you have Moses' mom, like, well, she said throw him in the river. So, you know, here he is in the river. You got sister watching what's going to happen to brother. You have Pharaoh's daughter. All these women come to the aid of this baby who's supposed to have a death sentence, and yet all these women save baby Moses, right? And you have Zipporah who goes and saves Moses from God killing him because of the circumcision. So it's like Moses is high maintenance. It takes all these women to just preserve this one guy. And it's like a redemption for the women after all the bad things you saw in Genesis. All of a sudden, all these women are like turning the tide in Exodus, and they're the ones saving the Savior. It's just fascinating to me to read that, right? So, anyway, that's my little nuggets for the night, because you guys are probably hungry. Yeah, okay. So, we will go to number 8. It's going to be the second cup. I will deliver you. You guys ready? I will deliver you. So, if you don't know the blessing, it's right here on the paper for you.
Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam Borei Bri Adam. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Amen. Now may drink. So we're going to get a piece of matzah from right in front of you on your table.
Yes,
a piece of bread. Spears and stripes, like we talked about earlier, right? The bread of affliction. Right? So if I can get reader number 9.
John 6:35. Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.
This is the bread of affliction. All who are needy, all who are hungry, come and eat. And the blessing.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
All right. So now we're going to eat the bitter herb, the marar, right? So I will show you guys how to do this. You don't have to do it this way, but the intention of this is to make yourself right. Okay? The intention of this is to make yourself right. This is what sin and slavery taste like. So we're going to take that piece of matzah, and I'm going to take some horseradish. Okay? So, save you guys some horseradish. Make sure you put enough on there. Purposely make yourself cry. That's the purpose. That's the part. You're laughing at me, John.
Okay.
You guys read the parentheses. So, what you want to do is you want to get a big walking stew. Alright, so get yourself a big mountain of horseradish. A big mountain of it. And I will be the first one, and you guys can follow after me. Yes? So, make yourself right. You guys ready? This is to make yourself right. This is to remember what life is without him. Okay? This is to help you remember what it's like to think about yourself over other people. This is what it's like to betray your friends and your family because you're too concerned about yourself. Okay? So, here we go. I won't be not as bad as you guys. And if I don't see tears, I'm getting good enough.
You're not coming to me. She said,
we'll get you. It looks like you're a judge. You didn't get tears. It's because you didn't put enough on them. All right? It's safe. So the next thing you're going to do is you're going to get your piece of matzo, and you're going to get a little bit of that horseradish, whatever it went. You're going to get some horseradish. And then you're going to get you some this pot au sec, which is this apple right here, and honey. You're going to put it on top of your horseradish. Okay? Okay? So you're going to have horseradish, and you're going to have the apples and honey on top of the horseradish on your cracker. And this represents a hypocrite. This represents a person living a double life. So the word hypocrite, do you guys know that the word hypocrite is actually a Greek word? The word hypocrite is Greek. Anybody know what Greek, what that means in Greek?
Hypocrite.
An actor, yeah. It's a person that was in the play. What we call a movie. It was a movie star. They were playing a part that they really weren't. Right? Arnold Schwarzenegger is not really Arnold Schwarzenegger. He can't really do the things he does in the movie. In real life. Go ahead, Bernie.
Oh, he's a hypocrite, you're saying.
Yeah. He's an actor. He's a pretender. So this is living the life as a pretender. Saying that you're a believer, but really not living like one. This is what it tastes like. So, dig in.
Do you want more?
You found it bittersweet, right?
No, it ain't.
It's not bittersweet. That's all right. After y'all wash that down, now you're just gonna get the apples and honey, and you're gonna put it on a piece of cracker. And when we eat this, this is going to resemble just living in the purity of His Word. It's gonna be the sweetness. This is the sweetness of walking in His Word wholeheartedly. In His purity. Alright, so let me know when everyone has their dog. Everybody have their dog there? Yeah, who is Reader 10, by the way? Yours? Go ahead, man.
Make sure you
Luke 11:10, for everyone who has receives, and to the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened.
Amen. Yeah. So, anybody remember after our Lord was put in a tomb, what happened 3 days later? After he was in a tomb, you guys remember who went to look for him?
Mary.
Yeah, Mary, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you guys remember what she found and then what she did, what she said? What was it? What did she find? What did she go do and what did she say? I like the thief women because it's funny. The old man women thing. You guys remember?
She found an empty tomb.
She found an empty tomb, and what did she think? She thought someone stole him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what else? What did she go tell the disciples?
We've taken our Savior.
Yeah, did anybody even talk to her about it? What did they go do?
They went and looked for themselves.
Why did they go look for themselves? Did you think they believed her? I'm just saying, it's a funny dynamic to me, because it's like, anybody ever have a woman or wife in their life that explains a story where you're like, oh, I know my wife, let me go ask somebody else. That's who saw the Lord next after him? Anybody know? Who saw him last?
Two disciples.
Well, two of them ran over there, right? Well, if you read John's account, he lets everyone know that he was a little bit faster than Peter. Right? He's like, I got there first. Everybody. What happened when John, what did he think when he got there? Anybody know?
He believed, right?
Did he believe? What did he need to, what did he see or didn't see that made him believe? All he saw was the open tomb. What did Peter see?
He had to go in.
He had to go in, right? And what did he have to see in there? He had to see the clothes wrapped up, right? And after they leave, who's still there? Who's still there when both of the boys leave? Mary's still there. And what is she still thinking? She's asking the gardener, like, hey, do you know where they put him? You know where they stole him? They took him somewhere. But if you think she's bad, there's someone even worse than she is. His name is Thomas. You guys remember Thomas?
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is, especially if you read the account of John, he makes it very clear that one event or one message, everyone has their own moment of when they finally get it. And some of us just need to see it too. Some of us need to see the clothes. Some of us are like, who stole him? And some are like, not unless I can put my finger through those holes. So anyway, we're all different, right? But the key is who is going to search for him? And in that search, oh, you're going to search for him? All right, so earlier we hid the broken body, we hid the broken bread, and
Should we do the children first?
The adult first.
Are you sure? Because they're going to get to choose first when they get the prize. Is it the children or the big children first?
The children.
So whoever goes first, they get to choose. They get to choose
the children. Okay, children. Okay,
the children go first?
Yeah,
sure. It's going to take a long time to find out.
We'll have to do the heart.
All right, so the children ready? So whoever finds it gets to choose the gift. So, which children were participating? Do you guys have your heads down over there?
I did, but I'm going to let them do it.
Are you sure? All right. You guys, the children are ready. Yeah. You have to find the napkin that says children, not being children. All right? So, go ahead. If you find the one that says big children, act like we didn't see it. John, I hope you're preparing yourself for Julie over there. I played one frisbee game with her, and she started throwing elbows, and I'm not joking either. She was pushing, and... She told me she pushed me, and I was like, she was the strategy.
Y'all are going to get more.
Why do we have Elijah? So reader number 13, can you read for us?
Malachi 4, 5, 3, 23 through 24 in some versions. Behold, I will send you, Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes.
All right, children, you guys know what to do?
Yes.
You don't know what to do?
Yes.
And you? Who wants to call Elijah for me? Oh, is Miss Linda? Oh, I thought Miss Linda was volunteering. Isaac, would you help us out, please, sir?
How about the winners do it?
Winners?
Yeah, the two winners for the championship.
Okay, I'll call for Elijah.
Yeah, you want to go call for Elijah? Come on, Isaac. Help.
Just go for Elijah. I'm the one. Now the top of your one.
You want to go first?
I do it in my spell. To do it. You got a team over there.
Was
Elijah! So before Yeshua stepped on earth, there was a guy named John the Baptist, who was his forerunner, right? And they asked, they said, hey, before you came, the scripture said Elijah came. He goes, oh yeah, I tell you, that he was already here, right? But even before the Lord comes back again, there's going to be this awesome awakening that happens according to Paul in Romans, where he says that there's going to be the whole Gentiles are all going to come to the knowledge of who the Messiah is, which is going to provoke those in Israel to the faith. So you're going to have this great awakening that before the Jewish people say, hey, that's our Messiah, you're going to have the nations in its fullness come. Right? You're going to have this hearts turning back to our Father like never before on earth. Before that great awesome day, there's just going to be this great awakening that no man could put his name on. And that's the beautiful part.
Praise God.
Right? So we pray for that forerunner. We pray for that spirit of Elijah to come, for this great awakening that's going to happen across the earth, where all the nations are going to come to its fullness, and which is going to cause jealousy for those who are Jewish to call out to our Lord as well. So you're going to have this great awakening on the earth, something that we've never witnessed before. And so we call out for Elijah, we call out for the Lord to return. But what an awesome day that's been done. So thank you, Brother Michael, for participating with children on that. All right. So let's all have a prayer. We all know somebody in our life, especially those Jewish, especially Israel. Let's pray for their awakening. So if you guys would like to, I don't care how you do it, if you want to do it silently, if you want to do it out loud, but we'll give ourselves just 1 minute. Pray for everyone who's lost in your life. Pray for the world and everything that's going on in the world for this moment, that they would get to experience their own Passover moment, right? Their own glory moment of rescue, their own salvation moment. So whether you want to do it silently or out loud, at your table, whatever, however you want to do it, I'll set a timer for like 1 minute, and then after a minute, we will pick back up. So, and then I'll do a prayer for everybody. So, go ahead and take a moment, table, and go ahead and pray.
for the world. Lord, we pray that they would come to the knowledge of you. Father, we ask that you would bring salvation, Father, of all those who have ears to hear. Father, we pray that you would send your neighbors into your harvest, and they would find those, Father, who have ears to hear. You send those, Father, who have your message to spread your good news. And we pray, Father, for the birth of our new brothers and sisters. We pray, Father, for the growth of our current brothers and sisters to maturity. We pray, Father, that you would pull those who are on the fence off the fence, and they would no longer be lukewarm. But we just pray, Father, for believers everywhere to be wholehearted, Father. Wholehearted, passionate, zealous for you and for your kingdom, Father. Lord, we just pray for your awakening. We pray for your revival. We just pray that you would come to this world, and as you confronted the gods of Egypt, that you would come and confront the gods of this world, Father, and show the world that there is none like you. So, Father, we pray for the great exodus, for the new exodus that Isaiah promised us. We pray, Father, for the new Jerusalem. We pray for you to come back in all your power, all your glory, and let the world see it, and let all the world see your Son, Father. So, Father, we just pray that you show the world, Father, what causes the creatures to see, that you would show the world what causes all the elders to fall down and worship you, Father. We just pray that you would reveal your glory. We pray for the salvation, Father, of the Jewish people, that it would, Father, you would reveal Yeshua to them. We just pray for your glory. We thank you and we love you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. All right. So if you will pour your fourth cup. If we can get reader number 14, I will acquire you as a nation. Reader number 14.
Luke 22:20. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.
Reader number 15.
Psalm 117:1. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all people.
Reader number 16.
Psalm 118:22-23. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Before I do the blessing, the beautiful part about that, everybody's ever heard that? The stone that the builders rejected? Well, this is a poem in Hebrew. You can't see it in English. The reason being is, does anybody know what the word for son is in Hebrew? Like, that's my son. Ben. Uh-huh. Bane is my son. Like Benjamin. That's my son of my right hand. Right, Benjamin, Ben? Do you guys know what the Hebrew word for stone is? Ben. So if you just put son in there, the son that the builders rejected has become the chief son. It's a poem in Hebrew. It's a pun in Hebrew. You can't catch it in Hebrew, but in Hebrew it's beautiful. It's telling you they rejected my son. My first son, my most important son. Right? So the fourth cup. With that.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, urei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who created us through the divine.
And before we read this last statement, the reason we read this last statement is
This is all about a wedding to come. This is all about a wedding to come. There is a wedding that's going to happen. You guys know about it, right? The marriage supper of the Lamb. For our Lord, on the Passover night, said, I will not have this meal or drink of this cup again until you are with me in my Father's kingdom. When they were rescued out of Egypt, the last meal they had was a Passover meal. The first real meal they ever had again was a Passover meal after 40 years in the wilderness. Before all they had in the wilderness was that manna, that quail. The next meal was in the Promised Land with Joshua. And right, and Joshua is just a long version of Yeshua. And that, our Yeshua said, I'm going to have this meal one more time, but the next time I have it, it's going to be with you in my Father's house. That marriage supper of the Lamb is a Passover meal with the Passover Lamb himself. So, in anticipation of having it with him in his kingdom, everybody says, next year in Jerusalem! Shalom, everybody. Happy Passover. We are now into the first day of unleavened bread. Lord willing, I'll see you at Shabbat tomorrow. And after that, Friday, we will have a midday time together to finish our last day of unleavened bread.
Here. Yeah, here.
Here? Yeah, here in the conference room. We'll have our last day of unleavened bread together Friday. Unleavened bread. Happy Passover. Glad you guys had this meal. And one day it's going to be way more glorious than this.
Yes.
Love you guys.
Thank you.